BBC News.
Vigi Ellis. Jenny Eclair and Julian Clary will be styling it out in just a minute. That's after this.
The straw and the muck that the cattle are on, that's going somewhere else to produce energy, is it?
Yeah.
The new series of Rare Earth.
Once you've built a wind turbine or a solar panel, it just pumps out electrons for decades.
I'm Tom Heap.
And I'm Helen Chersky, and we'll be tackling more big questions about the environment.
Speaking to those who help nature thrive.
I love that idea that it's not just that you're getting other people to reuse these things, that you're reusing them too.
There it is, flying right past us.
Rare Earth, on Fridays at midday.
On Radio 4 and BBC Sounds.
We're now on BBC Radio 4, here's Sue Perkins.
Welcome to Just a Minute. Sue Perkins here, and as the minute waltz fades away, what a joy to welcome you to another round of Just a Minute. Time to introduce you to the four magnificent people who are going to be playing the game this week. They are Jenny Eclair, Kyle Smith-Bino, Julian Clary, and Josie Lawrence. Please whip and cheer for all of them. I'm not going to shake things up today. I'm just going to ask them all to go classic, to speak on a subject that I give them for 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating, or deviating. So let's see how that goes. Right, Jenny, we're going to start with you, if we may. Something I'm sure that you never do, which is letting the cat out of the bag. Can you speak for 60 seconds on that subject without hesitating or repeating, starting now?
Letting the cat out of the bag is a good, humane thing to do if, say, somebody is taking a sack of kittens to drown in a well and you stop them down the street and say, hey, you...
Julian.
Repetition of down.
Oh, down the well, yes.
Going downhill fast.
Got very... Good luggles on him. Good very luggles good. On already. A strong start from Julian. Correct challenge under the rules, which means he gets the subject of letting the cat out of the bag and 45 seconds to talk on it, starting now.
Well, I suppose letting the cat out of the bag is a fancy way of saying revealing the truth, or maybe it's a secret. But generally, I think cats deserve to be out of the bag. I don't like people whispering in my ear, and I wish you'd stop telling me things that they want kept private.
Jenny.
A stumble, a hesitation.
It was the slightest of hesitations, and Julian is a very experienced player, but it was so slight, okay. I'm minded to let him continue and to give him the benefit of the doubt. So with 24 seconds remaining, let's hear about letting the cat out of the bag again, starting now.
Earlier on, backstage in the green room, as we theatricals call it, Jenny Eclair told me all about her new memoir, and she rather let the cat out of the bag when she told me there's a whole chapter about me, and it is highly complimentary. The book is going to be called Laughs, I believe. It's bound to be a bestseller, and I suggest you
Jenny.
Pre-order it.
He said Jenny twice, and also he deviated from the title of my book, and I can't... to me.
Jokes.
That's it. Thank you, Josie.
Right. Well, there's
is
many
it too
things
late
there.
To change it.
he said Jenny twice. That was
he did say Jenny twice. And quite frankly, the beef is real between these two already. All right, Jenny, you get the challenge. It's a correct challenge. And you've got 3 seconds. It's back with you now. Letting the cat out of the bag, starting now.
People who let the cat out of the bag are often called baggy mouths. I...
Well, Jenny was speaking as the whistle went, and she got that all-important point. And, Kael, we are with you. Your subject is under pressure.
Mm.
Under pressure. I don't want you to feel that, but I do want you to talk about it. You've got 60 seconds and it starts now.
Speaking about under pressure actually makes me think of the previous category, which was letting the cat out of the bag, because I am very good at keeping secrets. I have been in a job where I had to keep something...
kid.
Oh, Josie.
Repetition of keep.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You said keep and keep.
Shut up.
That's true.
No, it was a repetition of Keep. I'm enjoying Josie and Jenny's bants. It's just them in 10 years' time.
I don't think they're going to let us sit together anymore.
It's a flash forward to you in 10 years' time at the sort of sunshine home. It really is.
The two of us in the green room. She gave me a Werther's original. I thought, this is how it starts.
Listen, it was a correct challenge under the rules of just a minute. You get the point. But seeing as Kyle's not played the game very often, I'd like to hear a little more from him. So with 46 seconds remaining, you keep the subject, Kyle, of Under Pressure starting now.
They know I am to be trusted. So anyone can tell me anything and I will keep it under my hat.
Oh, no. Josie.
Repetition of Keep.
Yeah. It does become harder, I'll admit, to overlook. It does.
Yeah, keep doing that.
You do. It's a correct challenge. I'll give it to you now, Josie.
What's the subject again?
The subject, my lovely, is Under Pressure. So you've got 38 seconds to tell us all about that, starting now.
Can you remember Freddie Mercury, I think it was, and David Bowie sang a marvellous song called Under Pressure that was such a hit on all the dance floors and radio? It went like this. Oh, pressure, bearing down on me. And then it repeated itself. The pressure of...
Julian.
Hesitation.
Oh.
Taking a breath, I'd have called it.
I think there was a slight moment. I felt it was respiration rather than hesitation. So on this one, I'm going to side with Josie. And I'm going to say you've got 18 seconds remaining, starting now.
Now you see I am actually feeling under pressure because Julian just buzzed me and said I hesitated and all I was doing was breathing. Aren't I allowed to breathe anymore? Now this is what makes me feel really under pressure. The fact that people are all looking at me, expecting me to make a mistake.
Josie, we're back with you. This is delightful. Retiring to the seaside. Many years away, obviously. But something maybe to look forward to in 20 years' time. You've got 60 seconds on retiring to the seaside, and your time starts now.
Well, I stood looking out at sea and said, you know, I'd love to retire to the seaside with someone I love. What do you think? And this bloke said, I'm sorry, I don't know. Stop following me. Because, you see, I live on my own, so I'm not sure if I want to retire to the seaside. I love where I live. My street is so friendly. But I do make sojourns to the seaside. Whitstable. I went to Bristol the other day. No, not Bristol. I meant to say... Do you know when you fall into an abyss and you can't stop?
Frequently. Julian, the challenge.
Well, it's repetition and deviation, isn't it?
Because I threw everything in there.
Repetition and Bristol, is that not by the sea?
No,
correct me if I'm
no,
wrong.
No, it's not by the sea.
No, and I meant to say Brighton.
Oh.
Well, 27 seconds on that subject, Julian, and the subject, just to remind you, is retiring to the seaside, and your time starts now.
I have every intention of retiring to the seaside the moment I hit 68, and I will...
Jenny.
Well,
easy now. Jenny.
Can I
think
help
we
you?
All know that was 3 years ago.
No, we're the same age, aren't we? This was
no,
also...
you're a year old. Oh, God, no, you're 5 years older than me.
Have you He's forgotten what age you're pretending to be, Jenny?
We are of an age, but Julian is a year ahead of
Thank
me.
Thank goodness you've written your autobiography before it's too late.
If only I could remember what it was called.
I wasn't being serious, though. I was being silly.
I enjoyed it. I'm giving you a point for it. But it's, I knew it was coming, it came, I enjoyed it. But still with Julian. It's retiring to the seaside with 21 seconds on the clock, starting now.
One of the benefits of retiring to the seaside is that you can enjoy a blow on the front every morning as you wander along enjoying your coffee and maybe a snout. I don't know why I brought that into the conversation. It hasn't gone down well, but... By the time I'm retired to the seaside, I won't care what the general public think. I will fade into...
Well done, Julian. You carry that on till the whistle blew and you get the point. End of the first round. Let's have a look at those scores. We've got Kyle training a little bit in third. We've got Jenny and Josie neck and neck in second and striding manfully out in front. Julian on 5 points. Well done. Jenny, we're back with you again. The subject is, oh dear, the last time I saw Sue Perkins. Can you speak without hesitation, repetition or deviation on the last time I saw Sue Perkins? And your time starts now.
The last time I saw Sue Perkins, she was on the television starring in a show called Taskmaster, where she was tasked with building a very high tower out of tin cans whilst blindfolded and bewildered. I can't say that she achieved a great score. She got 1 point because all the cans fell down on her lap and she made a bit of a tit of herself. But that is what we love about Sue, with her genuinely sweet face. How keen I am to see her wherever she might crop up, be that on the box in the corner of my living room or in the green room here at Bush Hall. In she came, bounding and fun. Hello, all. What fun... Oh,
I mean, I'd like to thank you for using the word bounding in relationship
bounding.
To me. You, I will always and forever love you. Josie, you challenged.
Yes, she... repetition.
Of?
I've forgotten.
It was fun.
I had too much
this
fun.
This is happening to me so much. Fun.
Fun, indeed. It was unprompted there. Fun. Was absolutely the word that was repeated, and it means you get the subject, Josie, which, to remind you, is the last time I saw Sue Perkins, and you've got 11 seconds starting now.
The last time I saw Sue Perkins was also on my telly box in a wonderful thing called Perfectly Legal. She was in somewhere like Colombia, pissed out of her...
Right, well done. Speaking as the whistle went, thanks so much for that, Josie. And Kael, we are with you.
Okay.
Right, young buck, this is tailor-made for you. Late nights and early mornings.
Mm.
Which are you? Well, we're about to find out because it's your subject. You've got 60 seconds on late nights and early mornings, starting now.
You're correct. This is perfect for me because I love a late night, but also an early morning. They call me Mr. Midnight Dinners. I enjoy food at 12 a.m. on the dot, and I like when a steak comes out surrounded by eggs and chips, and it's just turned to another day. That's ideal for me. A late night could sort of include anything else. It could be a party, maybe a disco, you might call it, or a rave. And I don't care if I have to be up very early the next morning because I never get hangovers. That's one thing about me that people get jealous about, and I can see Jenny's face being jealous about it now.
Oh, that was brilliant. It's brilliant. Now, who pressed the buzzer
I didn't.
That was me.
I did. It did come up with your name, and I thought, he can't have buzzed himself.
Yeah.
Did you auto-buzz as a kind of reflex?
I knew it had happened.
Well,
I was there. I heard it.
You buzzed yourself. What's your challenge to yourself?
Repetition.
Well, listen, it's a correct challenge. You get the point. And that means... But Kael gets to carry on with the subject. Which, to remind us all, is late nights and early mornings. 16 seconds left, starting now.
Despite the envy that comes from another contestant on the panel, I feel no ill when I wake up the next morning, having had a lot to drink the night before. I can keep doing it, and I love it. Thank you.
Said thank you. For me, it means it doesn't matter that somebody buzzed, I'm not interested. Thank you. That's all I've got to say. And the whistle's gone. That's great. So, as far as I'm concerned, speaking as the whistle went, you get the point there. Really, really enjoyed that very, very much. Thank you. Julian, let's see what we've got in store for you. Ah, great. Now, your subject is my first job in show business. I'm ready to hear about this. I don't know about you guys. My first job in show business, and your time starts now.
My first job in show business was as a singing telegram. I was much in demand, my Tarzan in particular. I could do you straight or gay varieties. They were both identical. No party was complete in those days without this particular line of business. Very, very popular.
Jenny?
It's very, very.
I know.
It's a correct challenge. I very much enjoyed hearing about the singing telegram. In the meantime, we get to hear about your first job in show business in 38 seconds, Jenny, starting now.
My first job in show business was as a punk poetess. One of the poems went like this. I've got this problem with my figure. My tits will not get any bigger. A 38D cup is my dream. I've done the exercises, bought the cream. Whatever I do, they won't expand. I reckon I've got a retarded gland. It went on some, but I can't remember verse two, sadly. Before then, I read somewhere Glenda Jackson had worked in Boots the Chemist, so I hot-footed to set establishment and got my...
Well done, Jenny. Speaking as the whistle went, learnt quite a lot there, I won't lie. Fabulous stuff, you get the point. And Josie, we are with you now. The subject is the brilliant, the magnificent Joni Mitchell. So what can you tell us without hesitating, repeating or deviating on Joni Mitchell in 60 seconds, starting now?
I adore Joni Mitchell. One of my favourite songs is where she likens her passion for this man to sipping bittersweet holy wine. And the chorus is magnificent. I could drink a case of you and I would still be on my feet. The nearest I got to that in the 70s was snogging a boy behind the youth club and sharing a bottle of half English cider with him. But she was wonderful. Also, protest tomes she did. Who can forget the big yellow taxi that took away her old man and this wonderful rhyming...
Julian.
Repetition of wonderful.
Yes, absolutely.
Yes, it was wonderful.
Absolutely.
And then another wonderful. But she was just wonderful. That's a correct challenge. Congratulations, you get the point there. And also you get the subject, Julian, which is Joni Mitchell, as we know. And you've got 18 seconds to wax lyrical, starting now.
Very keen on a lot of Joni Mitchell's lovely songs. My favourite, I think, is I've got a brand new combine harvester. I'll give you the key. I used to play that repeatedly as an adolescent. And the image of her is seared on my mind, that lovely curly hair. Oh, and the voice.
Speaking as the whistle went, gets the point on Joni Mitchell. And at the end of that round, oh, let's have a look at the scores, and intriguing they are. So in third place, we've got Kyle, we've got Jenny and Josie still tied in second place, and Julian out the front. And so we move seamlessly into round three. Now, Jenny, we begin with you, and your subject is devilishly good-looking. Can you tell us about that in 60 seconds without hesitating, repeating or deviating? Devilishly good-looking, starting now.
Devilishly good-looking men. It's a rather Boone and Mills description of those kind of guys that are handsome but turn out to be cads, discarding women like used handkerchiefs. I think that devilishly handsome men are very attractive. I used to really fancy Johnny Depp, but then he went off a bit, and I do think there's got to be a point in a man's life where they think no more eyeliner because it starts to look a bit ridiculous. Cheekbones and dark hair.
Deviation.
How so?
He's gone off.
What's she talking about?
Well, It's a good question. I think she's mainly talking about Johnny Depp's eyeliner.
Johnny Depp's eyeliner. Right.
Yeah. Which has gone off the pirate subject. Look.
I think that's slightly off subject.
Do you know, I'm inclined to agree.
Oh.
Yeah, I feel devilishly handsome. You were on target for some 33 seconds, but on a whim, and because I like the cut of his jib, I'm going to give this to Kyle. So with 27 seconds remaining, you have devilishly good looking, Kyle, starting now.
There was a boy in my school who turned on the fire alarm because we all got detention, and when we were all told off as a group in assembly, the teacher said, it's okay because he's devilishly
handsome. Oh! I didn't do it.
Josie.
I'm afraid I did.
And your challenge?
Hesitation, it a was. Sort of little blip in the middle of devilishly.
I do, however, want to hear how that story ended.
Yeah, she sort of said it doesn't matter that you're devilishly handsome, and everyone called him that for the rest of school.
I mean, there's worse things to be
Yeah, called. Definitely.
Was it you? Was it you?
I wish.
But you are devilishly good looking.
Thank you.
It's hard to say devilishly, isn't
yeah,
it?
Yeah, tell me about it.
Well, listen, it was a correct challenge. 14 seconds on the clock for you, Josie. Devilishly good looking starts now.
I must admit, I do love a devilishly handsome man, a good looking cove. It's like in that film Barbarella, do you know that one? Where there's a really hairy bloke in a little spaceship and he.
That's what I always take from Barbarella, the hairy guy in the spaceship.
Well, there was also an angelically good-looking guy in that too, the big angel.
Yes.
Was he blonde? Because yeah. I think they're devilishly good-looking. They have to be dark. The angel ones, they're blonde, aren't
yeah.
they?
I think it's time we all wheeled ourselves into the summer room. Bring some sense to this utter madness. Styling it out, that's what I'm giving you. That's the subject you're going to have. Styling it out. If anyone can do it, you can, and your time starts now.
Going back to school, I remember when I was walking in the morning and there was a whole entire year in front of me who were lining up to go into their first lesson. And I was late and I was walking past the gate.
Jenny.
Two walkings.
There were, yes. You were walking to school and then walking. Yes. Fiendish. Jenny's got some luggles on her. Right, that's a correct challenge. You get the point. You also get the subject, which is styling it out. Take it away, Mr. Clare, starting now.
Sometimes, if I don't want to go to a party, I don't turn up. What I do is send a text the next day saying, loved the do last night. Sorry I got drunk, but your brother didn't seem to mind. By the way, I dropped my Cartier watch, so if you'd like to claim on your household insurance, it's worth a grand. Send me the cash. Do you see what I've managed to do? Style it out. Gotten out of a social occasion and earned myself a packet. Other things that I do to style things out. Once, when I was having a really bad...
Julian.
There's repetition of things.
Yeah.
That was an excellent spot, Julian. So you've got 7 seconds on styling it out, starting now.
Styling it out can come naturally to some people, but not if you wear double denim. That would be a faux pas.
Now, Julian, we are back with you, and your subject is unlikely friends. Let's hear what you've got to say on this. You've got 60 seconds, starting now.
I made some unlikely friends recently. Northern heterosexual men. The part of Jesus in the musical that I've been working on the last few months was a proper geezer. And he would come off stage while I was there waiting to receive my bows and waddle over to me and say, do you fancy going for a meat pie? And it was a real novelty for me to be cheek by jowl with some stubbly-nosed man.
Oh, that paints a picture, Jenny.
I think we're all quite grateful he hesitated.
Yeah, I was intrigued by the nasal shaving.
In case he's listening, I meant chin, stubble chin. Yeah. Jesus does not have a stubbly nose. In the version I would remember. No,
in case he's listening, that's all you want to apologise for.
The rest of it is all true. Ian McIntosh, in fact, you're coming for a meat pie. That's what he would say as he came off stage, covered in the whip marks. I don't want to give the plot away.
Okay, I mean, yes, correct challenge, Jenny. Well done. You get the subject of unlikely friends, and your time, 30 seconds of it, starts now.
My unlikely friend is called Judith Holder, co-host of the very popular podcast Older and Wider, which we present together. She is chalk to my cheese, lives in rural countryside thatched cottage, makes soufflés and grows courgettes, radishes, beetroot. That kind of woman enjoys wild swimming, which I call voluntary hypothermia for the middle class.
And Jenny, well done there. You were speaking as the whistle went, and you get the points. And we're now moving into the final round. I know. But needs must, and we've got an absolute cracker to see us out. Josie, this is one to itch your brain cells. Make it from scratch. That's your subject. Make it from scratch. And your time starts now.
This is wonderful, Victoria Sponge. Did you make it from scratch? No, of course I didn't, you stupid woman. It would take such a terrible effort to make it from scratch. I would have to buy some land and plant some wheat, wait for it to be harvested, ground it down and make flour, breed a cow, pull on its little udder, get the milk out, churn it, make the butter, go over to the salt mines of Peru to get the little savoury bit, and just think of how long it would take to make each individual hundreds and thousands. Make it from scratch, you fool. You can just go down to the shop and get one prepared. Make it from scratch? Never. The only thing I tried to make from scratch was banana bread. It was like hot, really badly brown.
What a rousing way to end the show. Josie, speaking as the whistle went and spoke for the full 60 seconds, means she gets an extra point, and that has played merry hell with the scores, let me tell you. Because in third place, we have Kael. In second place, we have Jenny. But jointly in the lead, tonight's winners, Julian and Josie! And then, my lovely, sadly, we have to leave you. First of all, I want to say a big thank you to all the wonderful players of tonight's game, Jenny Eclair, Kael Smith-Bino, Julian Clary and Josie Lawrence. And we are, of course, indebted to Ian Messiter and, of course, to Nicholas Parsons. We also thank the wonderful Sarah Nichols for blowing her whistle so delicately. The producer was Rajiv Kharia, and this was a BBC Studios audio production for Radio 4. And this is me, Sue Perkins, saying thank you wherever you are for listening. And please do join us again when we next play Just a Minute.
And Sue will be back with another edition of Just a Minute at the same time, 6:30 next Monday evening. A reminder, you can also hear Just a Minute on Sunday lunchtimes at 12:30, or indeed whenever suits you on BBC Sounds. Now, it was 40 years ago this month that Bronski Beat released their era-defining album, The Age of Consent. On this evening's front row, Samira Ahmed and her guests will be reflecting on the music, legacy and the politics of the record. That's at 7:15, after our visit to Ambridge, where Kirsty has a tricky subject to bring up. The Archers is next.
More diamonds than the Queen of England.
Welcome to the world of thieves and hoaxers and con women.
She does sound fabulous though. Massive dogs, lots of cars.
But who are these lady swindlers? And did they get away with their frauds and deceptions by using their feminine characteristics?
I and the notorious Tilly Devine.
She's a bit of a one-off, really.
Lady Swindlers with Lucy Worsley.
Where true crime meets history.
Listen on BBC Sounds.